This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:02 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steering, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. The Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. CTI Tech, bringing 1 gig internet to Hillsboro and beyond. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield, and by the Litchfield National Bank. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and hope everyone is staying as dry as possible as we got biblical type of rains falling outside. And David, I think we might have to send the dove out.
Perhaps.
And see if it finds dry land.
We'll see.
I don't know.
It might be coming back a couple times.
Perhaps. It was weird last time when I was driving over to Nokomis for Lincolnwood and Nokomis, you know, there on the blacktop. It was like spring. It was a thunderstorm. Thunder, lightning, just a driving rain.
Well, Courtney was driving home last night from the store, and she mentioned it was sleeting last night briefly. And I was like, it's too warm for that. It's like mid-50s.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought it would have been.
She claims it was, though.
I'm not going to argue with your wife,
yeah,
David.
I won't either.
And I would suggest you don't either.
She is always right.
There you go. You've learned.
Yes.
That didn't take you long. Hey, we're going to catch up with Matt Milberg here in just one moment as the Lancers last night beat Nokomis 50-44. And with the win, that is a county championship, so to speak, for Lincolnwood. Beat Hillsboro, beat Litchfield, beat Nokomis in the same year for the first time since the 2013-14 season. It was a fun ball game last night as Lincolnwood got it done. So we'll catch up with Mount Milberg in just a moment. Want to remind you, today, very special day up at Illinois College. They're having a Grace basketball game as IC takes on Beloit College. Carly Cameron, former Hilltopper, is part of Illinois College's basketball team. And so this is a doubleheader today. Gates open at 1 o'clock. There will be no gate admission. Instead, they're asking that you make a donation for INAD research. So this is the Grace basketball game at Illinois College today, doubleheader starting at 1 o'clock. Go up, support former Topper Carly Cameron, and help support INAD Research and Grace Herschelman. That is a doubleheader starting at 1 o'clock today. Well, we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Lincolnwood head coach Matt Milberg. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tim.
So what was that bus ride like last night home?
Oh, it was short. You know how that goes, just about 10 miles down the road. But it was loud.
I think I commented last night, it'll be a short bus ride, but it'll be a fun bus ride.
That's right. You know, we make the boys travel after wins and losses back home. Old school, you know, the guys get some camaraderie and stuff. I know nowadays a lot of schools don't do that, and the boys really enjoyed it last night.
Yeah, that is different. I mean, usually the bus ride home, it's like the bus driver and the coach.
Yeah, every program around here is like that. But I've stuck to traditions, and, you know, the boys, I think, for the most part, really enjoy it, you know, on losses, you know, which are learning examples. You know, we get to talk to them and, you know, figure things out and just relax a little bit for the ride home.
Matt, I talked to Steve Kimber earlier this morning. We're going to bring that interview later on in the hour. But he commented, he said, Raymond, they played harder than we did last night. He said, they always play hard. And as a coach, when you hear a Hall of Famer like Steve Kimber say that about your team, that's about as good as it gets.
Well, you know Steve and his success over the years. You know, he's going to be a big loss in high school basketball after he retires this year. And, you know, you appreciate that. You know, you hear some good things from other coaches in the area, and you just try to build off that, let the kids know how other people are viewing them, and you praise them. They did a great job last night. They came in prepared. They came in focused and achieved the task handed and beating them on the road in a tough non-conference game for us.
And that was the definition of a team win last night. Every kid you put on the floor did something to help you win that ball game.
Absolutely. You know, I've been telling, you know, my assistant coaches who have been great for us this year that every night going in, I don't know who the leading scorer is going to be. And in my 8 years, that's probably the first time that's happened. And it's a good feeling to have. They get to share the ball real well. They get it off their defense. They're playing best man-to-man defense, I feel, all year right now. And they're just getting after it.
And you're able to really run in a good number of kids off your bench. It really allows you to stay fresh.
Yeah, we got a nice rotation. You know, as the head coach, there's a lot going on during the game. And I leave it up to Coach Krager and Coach Johnson to make the subs on their own. I trust them, you know, and if I catch them, you know, slack, if I catch something I want to change or whatever, I'll make the call. But, you know, whenever you have assistant coaches that you can trust and work as a team all the way down, you know, we trust the process of what's going on. We can do some nice things. So I'm very proud of our bench and where they stepped up last night. And the guys just battled all the way through.
Talk with Matt Milberg, the head coach of the Lincolnwood Lancers. They beat Nokomis last night, completed the county sweep, beating Hillsborough, Litchfield, and Lincoln, or in Nokomis, all in the same year for the first time since the 13-14 season. And, Matt, when you're up against a big guy like Carter Sobel, a lot of times when you're facing that type of size, the tendency can be to maybe lay back a little bit, lose some of your aggressiveness. That's not what you guys did last night. I think of Sam Herman specifically. He went right into the chest of Sobel all night long.
Well, we had actually had Sam on Tassetti all night long. We used Sam's length to guard against Tassetti. We had Hopper. We had a Hopper combo with Jaden Walker off the bench on Carter. And, you know, Carter hit some great shots last night. There were some tough shots, and you just got to nod your head, shake his hand after the game and say, heck of a ball game. I mean, he pulled up. We were in his chest. We were in his face all night, and you know, we gave up 29 points to him. You know, that's something that we're not extremely happy about, and I don't know when the last time we gave up that many points to an individual, but as good as he is, you know, it proved it didn't matter how many points he had whenever we came out with the win. I thought the defense on him last night was superb.
It was, but I was talking more on your offensive end going at him when Carter was playing defense. I thought you guys did a great job of attacking him.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We attacked him on used our speed. You know, we had a little bit more speed than size there, and we pushed the ball, too, on the press. We didn't sit back and just make passes across the court. We attacked the lane, and, you know, he was in early foul trouble. So we use that to our advantage, for sure.
Great week for the Lancers. When I saw you on Monday, I mentioned the game with the Comas on Friday. You said, whoa, we got a big one on Tuesday against a very good Mount Pulaski team. So to get two wins this week against those two teams, that's a job well done.
Well, I think it all goes back to our practices we've had, during the New Year's week. You know, we really worked on some things that we saw as blemishes in Waverly. And we progressed, you know, through practice and changed some things up and worked on the things that could help us prepare to win against a Mount Pulaski-type team and a Nokomis team on the road. You know, one of our biggest problems this year has been from the free throw line. And last night, you know, we shot 85%, 17-20 on the road.
That
and
works.
There's no better thing than feeling than that whenever something that you work on and try to get better at comes through in the end.
And, you know, a lot of times, you know, free throw shooting it's hit and miss for not just in high school, but you get up to the pro level. It's hit and miss. And sometimes people are like, well, don't they ever practice free throws? Yes. Yes, they do all the time.
Yeah, most of the time it's trying to get your kids in a situation where they're shooting them tired of practice and making sure they're focused. So we made some adjustments there a little bit, and it paid off. I think we went, 10 for 12. In the fourth quarter last night, which is crucial on the road against a team that's pressing you and handling that pressure all night long.
And you guys did a real good job handling that full court pressure last night. I didn't have you for a whole lot of turnovers, but the turnovers you did have, they were more in the half court set than against that full court pressure.
Yeah, I thought we handled that pretty well last night. Again, you know, eighth year, you know, facing these guys as a varsity coach. I think we do a pretty good job of handling the pressure at times. The half court set, sometimes what happens is we get through the press and we get relaxed because it's over, mm-hmm. and then we forget we got to continue to take care of that basketball and hit the middle and do things like that. That's where we have to grow too, is is making sure that after the press that we are continuing to take care of that basketball in a half-court set.
So we're into the new part of this calendar year, obviously. As you kind of assess your team now, Matt, where do you want to see the biggest growth the next couple of weeks?
Well, we got a big, another tournament coming up here on Monday. We're preparing right now. I'm watching film and getting in the gym this morning for another game against Edinburgh. We played them at Waverly. It's nice to have, a home tournament at Morrisonville for us to get in that gym. We go to Carlinville on Tuesday to play a team that got a new coach and a guy I really get along with, and Coach Suits, and them guys are going to be ready for us, I think, on Tuesday. And then we got Mulberry Grove on Thursday, and then we're going to see Nokomis again on Saturday. So we really got to have a good week this week, continue the way we're playing defense for sure, and taking care of the basketball. And, with at the end of the picture, with the conference still up for grabs and hosting our own regional here in our own gym, I think that's got to be some big things for the boys.
Talk a little bit about the Mohawk Classic here, obviously with the Lincolnwood-Morrisonville co-op. I guess the Lancers are essentially the host school for the Morrisonville tournament this year. 42nd year of the event, and this has always been a fun week of basketball.
Yeah, and it's turned into the Tuesday where we get to play a JV game on the road or at home. This year we're at Carlinville. It's a great atmosphere in there to where there's some teams that are in the area that can play against each other and not have to worry about, conference standings and stuff like that. So Sangamon County tournament's going on that same week. So there's some good basketball going on right now.
Matt Milberg, the head coach of the Lincolnwood Lancers, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and congratulations on the county sweep.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. Thanks for all your hard work last night at the game, and I appreciate your time.
All right, Matt Milberg with Lincolnwood as they got it done last night over Nokomis, 50-44. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to start talking about the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational. It begins a week from today. We'll catch up with Litchfield head basketball coach Drew Logan when Sports Saturday rolls on.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you, David Jenkins. Remember, special Grace game happening up at Illinois College today. It's a Saturday basketball doubleheader at 1 o'clock. Illinois College takes on Beloit College. Former Hilltopper Carly Cameron, part of the IC squad. So a special Grace basketball game today at IC. There will be no gate admission. Instead, they are simply asking that instead of paying the admission to get in, you make a donation to INAD Research. That is happening today at Illinois College with the doubleheader beginning at 1 o'clock. On the high school wrestling mats today, you've got the Princeton Invitational going on. The championship quarterfinals got underway at 9 o'clock this morning. Litchfield's Alex Powell, he was wrestling at 106 pounds. Carter Powell was wrestling at 126 pounds. And Jefferson Thomas wrestling at 220 pounds. For Auburn, Gage Lopez wrestling at 106. Dalton King at 113. Dresden Grimm at 120. You have Michael Ushman wrestling at 132, Caleb Nix at 145, Gervasio Marchisa at 170, Shane Trimmingham at 195, with Kalik Edwards at 285. Then for the Vandals, Jake Worley at 106, Owen Miller wrestling at 113, Cutter Prater at 120. For the Vandals at 152, it's Braden Kaiser, Tyler Worker at 160 pounds, Gavin Mouser at 195, and Anthony Inlow at 285. Those were the championship quarterfinals, which got underway at the top of the hour. Getting underway a week from today will be the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational at Litchfield, and happy to be joined right now by Litchfield head coach Drew Logan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Well, the seeds obviously were released a few days ago, and I would imagine when you're running a tournament, you can always do a small exhale when that portion of the event is done.
Yeah, it was interesting just doing the voting. It was funny. I was texting back and forth with a few of the conference coaches that are in our tournament, and they said this thing's a nightmare to seed just because we've got some new teams. We've got some teams that haven't, record-wise, don't look like they've done very well this, early in the season, but then you look at who they played, and it makes kind of a big difference. So it was nice to get that box checked, so to speak, and get that done and try to get ourselves ready for it next Saturday.
Drew, you've got four new teams in this year. Is this the most turnover you've had in 1 year since you've been there?
Oh, yeah, by far. Two of them. Two of them are new, but it was anticipated that they were going to be new. Father McGivney had planned to come in this year, and that's why we had a Taylorville JV filled in for us in a spot last year. We had that planned a couple of years ago. Coach Renz actually was the person that got that lined out. But then we had Roxana, Lebanon, and Metro East Lutheran that got out on us last year. And I feel like we were able to really, from a comparable standpoint, keep our tournament at or even maybe possibly improve it a little bit by adding Triad, Ramsey, and then Gateway Legacy out of Missouri.
Well, in this Gateway Legacy team, they won the Thanksgiving tournament over at Metro East Lutheran. So that's a quality club coming in here.
Well, and they are. So they're and how this all worked out, we kind of assumed we'd be going into this year with another JV team filling our roster because we hadn't had anybody reach out. So we, Mr. Elvers and I, sat down and we put some stuff out on IHSA to try to find a team, see if we could find somebody early in the school year. And the athletic director at Gateway is Dave Redden, who was the athletic director at Metro East. So he reached out to us and said, we'd love to fill your spot if we can. And the neatest part about bringing them into our tournament is he said about 75% of their players are international players.
Wow.
So it's going to be quite an addition to the you know, tournament. And you know, I've had multiple coaches ask me, what do you know about them? Nothing. I know nothing. So I'm sure there's film out there somewhere, but, as of right now, I'll be excited to see them play.
And then Triad, first year in the top seed.
Yeah. Triad had expressed interest a few years ago, and we were just kind of waiting for a spot that worked for them, and we were able to get that when, when Metro and Roxana got out. That was one of the first coaches I contacted, and they're a great team. They're playing in the Highland Shootout this morning against Highland, I think. They're a solid ball club, but for our tournament, we like to try to keep a good balance between the bigger schools and the smaller schools. So that was a good addition for us.
And that's always, to me, what has separated your tournament from others is the mix of the small school and the big school. But then you start in pool play and feed into bracket play. I just think it's a beautiful setup for the tournament. But you mentioned that Triad reached out to you a while ago, and that really speaks to the type of event you guys are running, Drew, when you have teams contacting you saying, hey, we want in this thing.
Yeah, and we've right now got two teams that are kind of on, I guess, a waiting list, so to speak. And we didn't have that. I mean, if we would have had that, the last couple of years, we wouldn't have had the vacancy that we had. And thankfully, Taylorville was able to really help us out last year. But, there's starting to be a lot of turnover. I felt for a couple of years like, man, we just got a lot of turnover. We got to do some different things. And then I start looking at, even the Carlinville tournament and the Metro tournament. I mean, there are new teams in it all the time. And I think it's just the nature of basketball now. People are always looking to go try something different. So we're trying to continue. If we have turnover, we're trying to fill it and find the best teams we can. We want to keep the reputation of the tournament going. It's been a strong tournament for a really, really long time. So we continue to try to add and fill the spots as we need them, but try to add the quality teams that we can.
And, of course, last year you guys changed the name from the Litchfield Invitational to the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational. And I know, Drew, that was really special to the McGraw family. And, man, I heard a lot of positive feedback about that change.
Yeah, and the person that I give a lot of credit for even giving that idea was Sue Builder, who's our athletic director, secretary. She was the one that just kind of said, hey, I've had something I've been thinking about. She threw that idea out to me, and I mean it made sense in every manner. And it's been really good just in general for the tournament. And it's been good for the relationship between the McGraw family and the school. Obviously they don't have any children that are here now. But it's been really, it's helped me foster a better relationship with them that maybe I wouldn't have had, if this wasn't something that we did. And like I said, it was special to do it last year, and I think it'll continue to be special each year with his name leading the top of that tournament.
So at the top of the tournament this year is Triad, the 1 seed. They're in Pool A with Greenville, the 8 seed, Mount Zion, the 9 seed. Pool B has 2nd-seeded Pena, 7th-seeded Civic Memorial, 10th-seeded Ramsey. In Pool C, Taylorville, the 3 seed, last year's champion, and then Litchfield, the 6, Hillsboro, the 11. Pool D, Gateway Legacy, the 4, Nokomis is 5th, McGivney is seeded 12th. And, Drew, is there any part of you that when the stuff gets released, you think, oh, we're in the same pool with Hillsboro? Of course we are.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it never fails. And at one point we had, there was a 1 seeding that maybe had Greenville and Pena in the same pool as we were working through the coaches' votes. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. We're going to have both conferences, but that didn't end up working out. I mean, it is. We're very, the votes are what the votes are. You know, whatever they come out is what we put out to the teams. And, we're very transparent with that because, I mean, it is, and it's a difficult, you know, the seeding can be all over the place just strictly because teams may be really unfamiliar with some of the teams that are in it. So, we're very transparent with it. We however the votes fall, they fall. And if that would have put us, Hillsboro, and Pena in a bracket, then unfortunately we would have. You know, we hope that it doesn't happen that way. But I think the pools came out really good, and there's going to be a lot of good games.
So a week from today is when the tournament starts. There'll be 4 games next Saturday. We'll all be in Simmons Gymnasium. Hillsboro will play Taylorville. We'll have that game live at 2:30. Pena then takes on Ramsey at 4. Triad of Mount Zion at 5:30. McGivney and Gateway Legacy at 7. That will be the first day of the Invitational. Then on Monday, Drew, it is MLK Day, but I see you're going to be using both gyms on Monday.
We had a scheduling issue with officials that we were having a really hard time filling those because normally we just run it like a Saturday.
Right.
And we had some trouble getting officials for those earlier games, and we just made the decision that we're better off just doing it at night to make sure we have, you know, good crews here and everything. So we just went ahead and did the night games, and we're going to work this year to get back to that 2:30 start the next year on that Monday.
And, you know, that we've talked about this for quite some time, but it continues to be a problem, and it needs to be addressed, that the shortage of officials, it's an ongoing problem, and it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, and it gets harder and harder because, you know, the officials, are trying to help you out as much as they possibly can, but there's just times where it's not feasible. I mean, I spoke with a couple officials the other night about helping us fill maybe a freshman game, and they said, well, they've got a game in this town at this time and that they would be able to get back by this time. And I mean, the guys that are doing it are really trying to help as much as they can, but there's a shortage. And, you know, I talk to my players a lot about that. If you get a reputation with an official on game one, you're probably going to see the guy 7 or 8 times that year. and that number may be low.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen a couple crews this year. I've already seen him 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
And it can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. Yeah. And that's why I tell the kids, I said, you've got to make sure that you understand that that shortage can cause you to see the same people, which can be a great thing. But it is, and it's really difficult with a tournament like that where you have games going on in both gyms, and it's can definitely be challenging. I know Coach Elvers is really working hard at it this year to get ahead for next year to make sure we get the crews and the people that we want here.
I'd tell you what, Mark Elvers is doing a fantastic job as AD over there at Litchfield.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we went through. I still sit and scratch my head at how we managed to get through everything last year, and it was difficult, but we had a lot of people that were really bending over backwards to help us. And Marcus came in and steadied the ship, so to speak, and really got us going in the right direction. And it's definitely, and just from a, he's always been a person that I've looked at as a mentor and looked for, you know, for advice. And so it's really nice to be able to have that relationship even further as him being the athletic director.
You know, kind of like Pat Rentz, he cares deeply about Litchfield. He's personally invested.
Yeah. Well, and let's not forget, Pat probably got some of that from Mark. I mean,
right.
Mark being his football coach, I'm sure a lot of that pride and that dedication to the school was instilled through that football program with Coach Elvers and the other coaches, just speaking on Mark's behalf is, you know, but, yeah, they bleed purple and it's nice to have him there to kind of help us steady the ship.
Talking with Drew Logan about the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational Basketball Tournament, which will begin a week from today, then run the week of the 20th as well. But Drew, I want to switch gears and talk about your team specifically. And you guys have been battling the injury bug all year, and I know you're still without Brady Bishop. Any update, any positive news there?
He is practicing. He was cleared on January 2nd to start practice. We are keeping our fingers crossed that he will be able to play in our tournament. You know, there's a possibility that he'll be able to play at some point next week. Just trying to be as cautious with it as we can so we don't have any setbacks. He's looked really good in practice. He's, you know, he's doing everything he needs to do, doing all the rehab. Our trainer, Christian Ovi, has been fantastic with him, getting him into rehab and doing exercises. So he's close, and, you know, the other guys just keep battling. I mean, we had a track meet with Vandalia last night, and I'm playing 6 and 7 kids, and they're exhausted, and it is what it is. And that's what we keep telling them. It's not for a lack of effort at this point. Our kids are battling, and you know, I've got guys that are, you know, I'm asking them to do things that maybe they're not quite comfortable doing as far as certain positions. But as I said from the very beginning, I really do feel like this will make us better in the long run. I had not anticipated Brady being out quite as long, but, you know, we want to make sure that when he comes back that we don't have any setbacks.
Andrew, anytime – a high school kid gets injured and has to miss time, it stinks. But especially when it's in your senior year.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible for it to happen to anybody at any time, but for a senior and for a kid that I know and just witnessed the amount of work he's put in over the last 2 to 3 years. I still remember having a conversation with his freshman year, him asking me, you know, what can I do to get more playing time? He has just ramped up his work ethic. He does so much in the off season, and it does stink. But what I will say, and this is, you know, it takes a special kid to do it. He has handled it he's got such a positive attitude. He's positive on the bench. He's encouraging to the kids on the floor. He's good in the locker room with them. He's been great, even setting out in practice. So he's handled it about as good as you can handle it, and I've been proud of him for that because it would have been very easy for him to sit and throw a pity party for himself and feel bad, and he has not at any point done that when I've been around him. He's been very positive and been a good asset on the bench.
And I guess one, not necessarily a positive too, but when a kid is out, it just presents opportunities for others to step up, and it seems to me like Blaine Stewart has really taken advantage of that. He's had a nice campaign for you here.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of expected Blaine to fill a big role for us this year, especially on the offensive end. That's something he can do. He can fill it up pretty well on the offensive end. The person that really filled his spot was Blake McGill, and he has played, you know, just based on what we saw in JV last year in the summer, he has exceeded my expectations, and he is still every day asking, what do I need to do? How do I, you know, because they know at some point, you know, there's going to be 30 minutes that people are going to lose. And these guys, they don't want to lose their time. So what do I got to do to stay in there? And so there's been a lot of guys. And like I told them when Brady got hurt, there's no one guy that was going to fill his shoes. If there was one guy, he would have been starting already. And I said, so it's going to be by committee. You guys all have to fill these roles and do the things that he was doing to help us succeed. So, like I said, it's been a struggle at times. But honestly, you know, like I told the kids last night, we lost by 18. But it was a 9-point game basically at the end of the third quarter. And, you know, when you gamble and foul late, it makes the score look a little worse than what it was. And I told them, I said, they battled all the way through.
Yeah. When you play to win the game, sometimes that will happen where the final margin winds up a lot wider than the actual game was.
Right.
And Drew, I would suspect that you have to be very proud of the way your kids have gone about it this year. When you have the injuries, you know, you've won some good games, you've taken some lumps, but at the end of the day, you have to like what your kids have given you night in, night out.
It's an adversity thing, and that's something that's just life in general. And I mean, it's things aren't always going to go your way, and calls don't go your way, injuries happen. And like I told them, I said, you know, we can set and say, well, what if this, what if that, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, nobody else that we're playing is feeling sorry for us because he's not playing. And you know, I told them, I said, it's a matter of just fighting through that. And we've won some ugly games this year, and we have lost some ugly games this year. And I told the kids, I said, it's just a matter of, you know, we just got to continue to do what we can do. And sometimes that means, you know, like when we played in Nokomis, I didn't feel like we played that bad. We just couldn't score. I mean, it just was what it was. And, you know, like I told them, I said, it's a matter of just continue to fight through it. It's not fun. It's not easy. But at the same time, like I said, I think in the long run, especially for the underclassmen, it'll really pay off.
Talking with Drew Logan here, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. And Drew, before we let you get out of here, back to the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational. I know a lot of volunteers, a lot of sponsors make this possible.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We have great support with this tournament. We have a lot of sponsors that make monetary donations that just help cover the cost. I mean, you figure a tournament like this probably somewhere between $13,000 and $15,000 that goes in and out of the doors each year. And, you know, like I told Coach Elvers when he came in, I said, it's an exhausting week. It's busy. I said, but we have a lot of people that step up to make sure that it runs smooth. I mean, we have our scorekeeper takes the book home a week early to get all the rosters in there. I mean, it's just stuff that's been going on way before I ever came to Litchfield. And allows it to go good. And it's a busy week, but man, if we didn't have the people that step up every year to run this tournament, it would be even more of a daunting task.
Drew Logan, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and we'll talk to you down the line.
All right, thanks, Dan.
All right, Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, talking about the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational. It will begin a week from today, and we'll have live coverage of the first game of the tournament this year. It'll be a 2:30 tip next Saturday, Hillsboro taking on Taylorville. That'll be next Saturday right here on FM 106 and streaming online at WQSMIRadio.com. Oh, you look like you had something to say, David.
No, I was getting my mic adjusted. It was running away from me. It likes to do that in the studio. But we said this is the first year for Triad. I think, I could be wrong, but I believe Triad used to be in this tournament a long time ago. I think we're talking circa 1970s.
Well, you are going back.
Yeah, but I could be wrong, but I believe Triad used to be in this tournament many years ago.
Great addition for the tournament this year to get Triad and Gateway Legacy both in. So two new teams, and they're both headlining their respective pools.
And no disrespect to the teams that left. I'm not trying to do that at all, but I would say that when I first looked at this collection of teams, it looked like a better tournament this year.
It's a good field.
Than it has been.
It's a real good field.
Yeah. Especially if this is just 1 year for Gateway Legacy. If they don't come back next year, if they're one and done, it's a really special year for this quality of competition.
Well, you heard Drew mention that they've got a lot of international players. So that's fascinating. I always like to be able to see different styles, different types of play. And so when you can come into a tournament like this, you get the small schools, you get the big schools, and then you run into just, like, think about last year in the championship game. Taylorville, they were raining threes.
Oh, yeah.
Just raining them in all night long. It was just a heck of a ball game and a lot of fun to watch last year. And that's always been one of the staples of this tournament, is that you're going to get competitive, entertaining games throughout. Because remember, with the pool play, like they do it the first 3 days. And then based on where you finish in your pool, you go in to that specific bracket. So, I mean, that just, it lends itself to great basketball throughout the entire week at the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitation.
And they used to only have three 3A teams. Now with Triad, they've got a fourth. What with Triad, Taylorville, CM, and Mount Zion. I mean, Mount Zion is a 9 seed. I should tell you the quality competition in this tournament, because they were two-time champs just a few years ago?
Yep.
Back-to-back champs?
That's right.
Yeah.
So we told you about what's happening a week from today at Litchfield. Coming up on the 20th, Nokomis will play McGivney. Litchfield will play Hillsboro. That'll be 6 and 7:30 respectively on Monday the 20th. Both games in Simmons. Both games will be live on WQSMI FM 106. Then in the Panther Gym on the 20th, you got Ramsey and CM at 6, Greenville and Mount Zion at 7:30. The final day of pool play will be January 21st. Greenville takes on Triad. Litchfield faces Taylorville. Both those games in Simmons. Panther Gym on the 21st has Pena against Civic Memorial. Nokomis will face Gateway Legacy. So that is a look at the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational. Of course, it's a big tournament week starting that week of the 20th. Of course, we got the Macoupin County Tournament. That's at Staunton. This year we'll have live coverage throughout the week from Staunton as well. You got the Highland Girls Tournament. That is the premier girls tournament, maybe in the entire state, certainly in the non-Chicago portion of the state. Hillsboro, of course, headed back over there. They will face Breeze Modern Day in their opening game a week from today. We need to get to a quick break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, earlier this morning, I had a chance to catch up with Steve Kimbrough. It's his 39th and final year. It's gonna be weird whenever you look over on that Nokomis sideline and Steve Kimbrough's not there.
His final McGraw invite too. So, and he's had a lot of success there.
He's had a lot of success there. And I would suspect they'll be doing something special to honor Coach Kimbrough at the Rick McGraw Memorial Invite when it gets underway coming up next week. But we'll bring you our conversation with Coach Kimbrough when Sports Saturday rolls on. We're happy to be joined on the phone right now by the head coach of Nokomis, Steve Kimbrough. And, Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. And that was a tough one last night.
Well, they outplayed us. You know, it's really kind of a simple game. You know, offensively, you know, you go out there to, you know, be patient, work the ball around, break down your opponent. Defensively, you know, you try to disrupt their timing and take away. You only give them one opportunity. And Raymond did both those things on both ends of the floor. And, you know, they outplayed us. It's pretty simple that, you know, they came to the game with a little bit more emotion, a little more determination than what we did.
And, Coach, you guys get everybody's best shot all the time. Have you sensed that maybe with everybody knowing this is your final year, that teams are even maybe a little bit more jacked up to face you than normal?
No, I don't feel that way. You know, I don't know if they are or not, then that's fine, you know, mm-hmm. but, you know, our kids should know that, you know, we talk about this, you know, our success over the years, that people, you know, come in looking to knock us off, and especially rivalries, you know, close to us and that, and we got to accept that. And right now we're not doing a very good job of it. We, our play and consistency coming off a break, hasn't been real good. We had a real sluggish game against Litchfield, got a little bit better against East Alton. And last night Raymond come in, you know, with a job to do. And I, you know, I give them credit. You know, they come out and execute their game, stayed with it. You know, they didn't play perfect, but they play hard every possession.
Coach, is there anything this year that maybe you thought you guys would be a little bit better at that you're not so far this part of the year?
Right now, you know, we're, you know, at halftime we had two guys that scored. Mm-hmm. You know, our contribution from the other players, you know, Herbie was doing pretty good before Christmas break, and he hasn't kind of found his stride yet. You know, Seth and Kendall and coming off the bench, we've got Masher and Jake Johnson. You know, they've got to contribute. It can't be just stand around and look for, you know, Carter and Alex to do it all, or even Herbie. You know, these people have got to get in there and do things, you know, defensively also, not just offensively, but we've got to be a better balanced ball club. Otherwise, people just concentrate and, you know, sometimes out there it looks like it's 5-on-2 game. And, you know, the other three on the floor have got to help contribute and do something.
You know, I think back to last year, you guys weren't necessarily deep off the bench, but to your point right there, all five guys on the floor at all times were doing a lot of things to help you.
Yeah, you had Wrighty, you know, who offensively could do some things. Bruder, who'd come in at 6'6 and do some things. We got less depth this year. We knew that was going to be a problem, and, you know, trying to find, you know, who's going to step in and play with the three that really we had back. But, you know, that by now we're, 12 games into the season. So, you know, by the end of next week, then, you know, we're halfway through our season. There shouldn't be anything new come up there that what these guys have got to step up. You know, we've had enough practices and we've had enough time that, We've got to have more of a complete game out of everybody, and we've got to stay within our game. You know, our offense, we get guys that start freelancing out of our offense, and then everybody gets lost, and then, you know, we hear from them all the time, you know, well, I don't know what we was running. Well, you know, again, whose fault's that?
Right.
You know, the people on the floor have got to talk. We've told them this, and you know, they just, you know, a lot of the times, a lot of the mistakes we're making are simply mistakes that, where we don't communicate with each other, and, you know, we just don't make it happen. We don't find out, don't stay within our offense and make things and execute the way that we should be executing.
Carter Sobel, obviously he has played so many games for you over the years. Talk a little bit about what he has to go through each night, because everybody comes into the game keen on him. So, I mean, he takes a beating night in, night out, guys hanging all over him all the time.
He's big enough to handle it. Yeah. You know, and the thing is, they keep pushing him out from the basket. We've talked about this, that his size, you know, and absolutely, you know, guys are going to double team and triple team him, and he's gotten better from early part of the year to finding the open guys. You know, he picked up, what, I think 2 charging fouls last night going to the basket, and I don't have a problem with that depending upon the situation, but he's got to get his head up and see what's going on, and he has done a better job of finding the other people. And if he is a key, then that means if people are dropping off of him, somebody's got to be open. And the people off the ball, that people are leaving, holes in the floor somewhere, you know, they've got to be getting in position, one, to either look for a dump pass from Carter, or two, be in a rebound position. And we're really not getting much either one of those. So it's a matter of we're not reacting correctly to what's going on. You know, and Carter's got to learn to work more, you know, as they push him out from the floor, out from the basket, out from the basket. He's got to learn how to work back in. And our offense has got to learn to be patient. You know, we get a little impatient where we think, boy, we've got to come down there and dump it into him. And that's not the case. You know, we can come down and reverse the ball 2 or 3 times, make their defense work a little bit harder. And you know, it's a complete game strategy. And right now we're not. Our strategy isn't working at 100%. I guess that's the nicest way to say it.
Talking with Steve Kimbrough of Nokomis. And, Coach, this is where you get into your busy tournament portion of your schedule. And this is always, you get your early season test and the Stovetop Stuffing Classic, and then you always get a good test here in the middle part of January.
Yeah. You know, we got 4 games next week. You know, we got Mulberry and then Edinburgh and Carlinville and then Raymond again next Saturday. And then we go Monday, Tuesday at Litchfield with Father McGivney and Legacy. I can't remember who the first, somebody's new to the tournament over there.
Yeah.
And that's, we're the 4 and 5 seed. They're 4, we're 5. So, you know, we've got our test coming this week. We've got to solve some of our problems. We've got to find some consistency in our offense. You know, we didn't play bad last night, but we didn't play as consistent as Raymond did, and we didn't put the effort into our game as Raymond did. And that's where we've got to continue to work with our consistency and with our effort and you know, figure out what are we trying to do on both ends of the floor, and then we've got to work harder to get it done.
Steve, I'm just curious, knowing that this is your last year, you know, you're now past your final Christmas break, does it feel different to you knowing you're almost like a senior in high school this year, knowing that you don't get to come back next year?
No, it doesn't. I don't feel that way. I'm constantly looking at what we're doing and thinking about who's the best team on our schedule, and is what we're doing good enough to play with them, and you know what we got left, who's the next opponent, and what they're doing. I think I treat it all the same. So I don't look on it as my last year. I guess maybe whenever. Finally, that last game, you know, but, you know, no, I don't think I've changed anything I'm doing. I think I'm just as intense as I ever was.
You had some intensity flowing last night. Whenever you get up and you raise your voice, you get people's attention, Coach.
Well, you know, there was a few calls, and again, you know, that didn't agree with. Yeah. That happens every game. That's part of the game. That's part of what you got to deal with, you know, you know, I've learned, you know, I remember earlier in my career, and this was at Morrisonville tournament, Ed Bukovich, whenever Plaski, that's one of the main reasons we got in the Morrisonville tournament years ago, was Plaski was down there and they'd come off of a state win, and I used to sit there and watch him just sit there in his chair and, you know, talk to the kids, phone them out, talk to them, not get too upset, not get too high, too low. And I used to sit there and think, well, how does he do that? Well, I know now. You know, you kind of figure out there's a whole lot out there you can't control. Yeah. And up and jumping and running around ain't going to help anything. You know, take your opportunity to talk to them when you can and feel a little bit calmer. But once in a while, it still gets the best of you, and you got to get up and do a little holler.
I know Brett Tinkus told me, he's like, boy, the kids are playing for him now. They don't have any idea how much Coach has mellowed.
Oh, yeah. I told them, all those guys come back and tell me how rough I was on them. I said, well, hell, the kids are better today. They're more athletic than you guys were.
Talking with Steve Kimbrough. Coach, one final question for you. Before the Marquette game, really nice gesture by Marquette giving you the plaque, but there was a little bit of a misprint on the plaque, I understand.
They had us Nokomis Indians.
Oops. Oops.
And, no big deal. They did send me their plaque. I said, oh, this might be a collector's item someday then.
Coach, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and best of luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, Tim.
Nokomis head coach Steve Kimbrough, his 39th and final season, and 822 wins, I believe that is the total. That puts him fifth all-time, just four behind Dick Van Syok for fourth on the all-time list. So he will continue to climb up that here over his final few months, and that is just, it's just weird, David, to say something like that, his final few months.
Yeah, he's kind of forgotten more basketball than a lot of us will ever know.
He's not kind of forgotten. He has.
Yes.
And not some, all.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah. I mean, he just a phenomenal, phenomenal basketball coach is Steve Kimbrough. And I love it because he's no nonsense. You know exactly where you stand with Steve Kimbrough. If you're playing for him, There's no gray area or wondering, I wonder what coach thinks. He's going to let you know.
Right.
And, you know, there's a standard to adhere to. And when the standard is not met, he's going to let you know about it.
Oh, absolutely.
That is the only way you have that sustained success over the length of time that he has, is making sure that we have our level we play to. You know, that elite teams, elite programs, that's the difference. You want to know what the difference is between the elite teams and the elite programs, I should say, and then the teams that are good from time to time? Elite programs have a standard, and they play to that standard whether they're playing Grand Canyon or Duke. Their standard is here, and we're playing that. That's Illinois' problem from time to time. They play to the level of their competition. And when you play to the level of your competition, you're going to get beat by some people that you shouldn't get beat by. But when your standard is at a certain level, and that's the goal, it doesn't matter who we're playing, we have expectations. We have a way we expect to play. That's how you win year in, year out, whether it be high school or college.
And we talked about how this is going to be his last time at the Litchfield Invitational Tournament. This is usually the time of year where they also start to kick it into gear.
Yes.
As well.
Yes, it is.
So this is when the run begins.
Yeah. If you want to count Nokomis out, by all means, start counting. But I'm not following that.
And I shouldn't say it begins at Litchfield, because it probably more so begins at the tournament the week before at Morrisonville.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Has for a long time. Hey, we have a final here out of the Highland Shootout, the girls game. Highland beat Greenville 58-40. This morning. Now they'll roll in to their boys' games, and you heard Drew Logan mention it. Triad, the top seed at Litchfield, coming up in a couple of weeks. They are taking on Highland right now. That game will tip at the top of the hour at the Highland Shootout. Couple of big games there. You got Simeon and Vashon at 6:30, Chicago Whitney Young and CBC at 8 o'clock. And then you go over to the Effingham St. Anthony Shootout, 5 o'clock tonight, Central A&M against Totopolis. As far as small school goes, it don't get no better than that.
Here's something from the going back to that Greenville a little bit. I don't know if this is according to the Greenville Comets Twitter feed. The Lady Comets are at home today against Litchfield. So they just finished up their game against Highland, and they're also going to be at home against Litchfield. It's the same. It's all one tweet announcing the final score. They lose 58-40 to Highland, but they play today at home against Litchfield with the freshman at 2, JV at 2:30.
There you go.
So they got a full day if that's the case.
It's a big day.
Yes,
but, you know, it's not uncommon to play a couple games in a day anyway, but they're just usually at the same place.
Beats practicing.
You better believe that. You better believe that. Hey, we got Fighting Illini basketball coming at the top of the hour, hosting Rutgers today, 10 o'clock with the pregame on 105.3 The Ox. Rutgers is second in the Big Ten. How's that possible?
That's no gimme for the Illini.
No, heck no, yeah. It's not. They're a half game ahead of Illinois in the Big Ten. Standings, Illinois 3-2 in conference play. They've won three in a row against Rutgers. We'll see if they can make it four straight. Top of the hour pregame coverage on 105.3 The Ox. Thanks to Matt Milberg of Lincolnwood, Drew Logan of Litchfield, Steve Kimbrough of Nokomis for joining us this morning here on Sports Saturday, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WUSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. A girls' matinee for you this afternoon. Carthenville at Staunton live at 1:15 on FM 106 and streaming at WUSMIRadio.com. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done. Have a great sporting weekend.